Hey, it's Christmas.
What'd you get?
I don't want to brag.
Oh, sure.
I guarantee you I had hash brown casserole for breakfast. It tastes like two dreams. My friend says that, and I've been wanting to try it for about a week, so should I leave it to him?
Probably.
So today's story is from John. That's a new book we've been reading from Matthew. So this is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Word is capitalized in that. Like a person's name.
Yep. This one's a bit different than the other Christmas stories we've read.
We just went from pumpkin pie to fruitcake in terms of density.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This is, if the ones we've read before are the hallmark, you know,
precious moments
sort of story, this is the big cosmic, what's the macro scale thing that's happening here.
Put on a pot of coffee.
Yeah, you're gonna want it.
My name's May, and I studied journalism, so.
My name's Eric, and I studied theology.
Good
this
thing
is too long, didn't read.
Too Long Didn't Read is an irreverent look at a reverent book. It's a podcast about the Bible. This season, we're diving deep into the Christmas story to find out what the Bible says, or doesn't say, about that silent night in the little town of Bethlehem. Your grandma's porcelain nativity set? It's way off. The actual story of Christmas is violent, scandalous, and downright weird. But it's part of the Bible for a reason. Wonder why? So do we.
The story of Jesus didn't start in Bethlehem. In fact, it began way before visits from magi, angels appearing to shepherds, or the frantic journey of an unwed mother and her fiancé. On this season's finale of Too Long Didn't Read, it's getting wibbly-wobbly and timey-wimey.
Say that again.
Wibbly-wobbly and timey-wimey. We're going back to the start. Way, way back to the start. Hold on to your brains. They're about to get mushy.
Oh, no. Okay, so this is a new book.
This is a new book.
I know from what you've taught me that Matthew was written to a Jewish audience.
Yep.
Luke was written to a non-Jewish audience.
Correct.
Who's John writing to?
John's writing to everybody.
That's
inclusive. He's not specifying. John's gospel is written much later than any of the other three. You know, if you look at the other Gospels and you see later in Jesus' life when he's interacting with his disciples, he had three that he was closest to, Peter, James, and John. This is that John. Okay. And so he was one of the closest of the disciples to Jesus, knew him best. And so you almost get the impression as you look at the four of these Gospels that John, for the most part, goes, they got all of this right. I want to fill in gaps. I want to tell you things that they were unaware of, they missed, they left out, or show you the bigger picture. And he only retells stories when there is something, some other detail that he wants to bring out of it that's not immediately present in one of the other tellings, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So he has the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to flesh out the rest of the picture.
Does he mention Jesus' birth at all?
Not in the same way that Matthew or Luke do. This section in John 1 that we're reading, like, it's very different kinds of language, but you have the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Like, he's clearly talking about Jesus being born, if you assume the Word is referring to Jesus, which it is. You know, so he talks about the birth, but he's not talking about shepherds and sheep and angels and all of that. You know, his goal was something very different.
The 10,000 foot view.
Yes, very much so.
Now I'm going to try to sound really impressive with this next thing.
You're going
to
do great.
It almost reminds me a little bit. I haven't read a lot of Shakespeare, but is this kind of like, doesn't Shakespeare kind of tell you what's going to happen before you watch the whole thing unfold a lot of times?
He does sometimes, yeah.
Is that what this is? Is this the gospel in 17 verses?
Yes, as a matter of fact. In contrast to Shakespeare, where Shakespeare is usually saying, here's the thing that's going to happen. John is saying, let me tell you what's already happened. Like, I don't want you to miss the big picture significance of Jesus. I don't want you to miss what's really happening with him. I don't want you to think this was just a really great man. This was a man who was also God. Matthew goes to great lengths to establish Jesus's Jewish heritage, to trace his lineage all the way back through David, all the way back to Abraham. John is doing something similar for his divine heritage. He is saying, like, look, this is who he was. He was with God and he was God, right? Like right out of the gate, verse one, in the beginning was the Word. It was Jesus. Jesus was with God and Jesus was God.
It can't be a coincidence that John 1 starts with in the beginning, right?
Absolutely not a coincidence.
It's the first three words of the entire Bible.
It's the same thing. Like, so it's not a mistake. It's not coincidence. He is intentionally equating the Jesus that he's going to go on and tell this whole story about, the whole rest of his gospel about, with the God that created everything at the very beginning.
Yeah, he's saying, I don't have to tell you that God told Mary she was going to have his son. I'm just telling you.
I don't want you to miss who that son was, that he was the son of Mary and he was also the son of God himself.
Okay. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's calling the Word Jesus?
Yes. So come at it from a Jewish standpoint alone for just a second first. For the Jewish nation, the centerpiece of their connection with God, especially once the temple had been destroyed, was the scriptures, the Word of God. They were constantly referring back to it and iterating on it and analyzing and all of those sorts of things. The Jews are often referred to as a people of the book. You know, that's so much of not just their religious practice, but their identity was tied up in their connection to these words. What John is doing by referring to Jesus, and it's not a mystery to anybody who's reading this who he's talking about, especially once you get a little bit later into chapter one, it's very clear, this whole book is about Jesus. So in equating Jesus to be that Word, he is saying, this thing that you've built your identity and your nation and your people around, Jesus is this thing. He is before these words that were handed to you. He's before these things that were printed. He is what God has always been saying, if that makes sense. For anybody who wasn't Jewish, the pagan gods are very fickle. You know, they're constantly demanding something new. If you look back through the kind of the history of religions, especially in the ancient world, it's this ongoing attempt to try and figure out what can I do to placate the gods so that they don't smite us, basically. So I'm stuck constantly trying to figure out what sacrifice do you want? Are you happy? Like, you know, they're very fickle is the best way I have to describe them. And so for John to come in and say, this Jesus, this guy I'm going to tell you his story of, is God, and he is constant, and he is unchanging, and he was there in the beginning, and he created all of this. You know, he is establishing Jesus as a God that is completely and utterly different than every God they've ever interacted with.
Here's another thing.
Okay.
This can't be an original thought, but the beginning of the Bible starts with in the beginning. This book starts within the beginning. We know what happens in the first three pages of the Bible, people mess up and this great plan is totally destroyed mm-hmm. and God does something new. Mm-hmm. So is it also possible that when John said in the beginning, would people have read that and basically thought, oh, this is a brand new thing? Would it have felt like redemption was coming just from the first three words?
I don't know whether it would have felt like redemption is coming from the first three words, but there's no Jew that would have read that and not immediately thought of the whole story connected with that. Remember, in an earlier episode, we talked about how the Bible is constantly referencing other parts of itself. You know, it assumes that you've read the whole story. And so kind of like with any of us, like we reference a line from a TV show and instantly anybody who knows that show thinks of the whole episode. You think of that whole arc, even if all you were referencing was just this one little funny line, you immediately think of the whole story. Same sort of thing with this. For someone to say in the beginning, the Jewish listener would have thought of Genesis 1, but would have also immediately thought of God created the world, he created man, the fall, you know, and all of that brokenness and the beginning of God's promise to restore everything. So if you evoke that in the beginning thing, I'm expecting your story then to lead me to, okay, so is this a story about God answering those promises? So it wouldn't automatically feel like redemption by itself, but that's where I'm expecting you as a reader to take the story. Mm. By the time you get to verse 4, in him was life and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Right away, before we even get into any of the non-theological type stuff, John is already hinting at that promise is going to be fulfilled. This is where we're going. This is redemption happening.
So we've been talking about Christmas, which is the story of Jesus being born. Mm-hmm. But he was alive with God in the beginning of time, mm-hmm. before he was born. He was alive before he was born. And he died, but is alive. He's alive.
I was going to see how far you would keep just rolling with that.
Yeah. I can see why this is confusing to people.
Yeah, it's...
It's confusing to me.
There's a reason that we can't really wrap our heads around it. You know, like, yeah. Again, if you step back for a minute and go, God is this being that is completely other and beyond us and beyond our understanding and beyond our capability and exists outside of time and outside of creation and had the power to do everything that's described in this book. If that is who God is, I should expect to not be able to wrap my head around him completely.
Okay, good.
Like, if I could, that would be a problem. I don't want a God that I can completely understand.
That's true. Yeah.
You know? You know, that God doesn't help me. That's not going to save me from my brokenness, because if I can wrap my head completely around that God, I know I'm a flawed, limited human being. Any God that I can fully conceptualize is not going to be of any help to me.
You done did it again, Eric. That makes so much sense. It also gives me a headache.
Yeah, oh, very much so. Like, there are whole books and dissertations and things like that written by people much smarter than me that deal just with a verse or two out of this. So like this.
It's hard to imagine someone smarter than you, Eric.
There's lots of them.
Can I tell you what the bottom line comes down to for me with this?
Yeah.
It's verses 5 and 6. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. I want to have a party in the simplicity of that. You know, I want to celebrate how that makes so much sense to me. The light, Jesus, shines in the darkness. The darkness doesn't beat the light. You have a little pinprick of light in a dark room and it's not a dark room anymore. There's light in it. I mean, he's talking about evil in the world, right? The darkness.
Right.
Jesus is light. Darkness is evil. Jesus beats evil.
What's amazing to me about this passage, so in verses 1 through 5 and then 9 through 14, you have the entirety of human history from creation all the way up to the life of Jesus here in, you know, 12 verses. You know, you have Jesus was in the beginning and he created all of this. And then in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shined in the darkness, and that light came into the world, and he was in the world. And even though he made the world didn't know him, and it rejected him. But for all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God, and he came and he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Like, that is the whole arc. You know, so it's really thick, heavy language, but John is essentially saying, and keep in mind, like, he's going to go on and tell a lot of very tangible stories about Jesus. But it was important enough to him from the very beginning to say, I don't want to tell you anything about the person Jesus until you understand that this person Jesus, this man that some of you met, was also the God who created everything, who will recreate everything, who is connecting us to God. He is the answer to all of these promises. For those of you who are Jewish, he is the answer to this thing that you've longed for hundreds of years. For those of you who aren't, he is the constant, unchanging creator. He is the answer to all of these things. You need to read all of his life through that lens.
So he's saying, you're about to hear all these stories of a great man named Jesus who did great things. Don't lose sight of the fact, don't forget, this is God come to earth. Mm-hmm. He is 100% God, and he came to earth as a man.
Yeah, this is Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory.
Boom.
You know, that is Christmas in a nutshell. It is this amazing mystery that God, who didn't have to put on skin and bone, endured all of the suffering that all of us endure, plus some, in order to say, I will make right what you have broken. Come be with me again.
It wouldn't be Christmas if someone didn't cry.
I was so close.
First chapter of John is some of the most compelling in all of Scripture. So give yourself a Christmas present, take some time to read it, and then read it again. Much slower. It's dense and rich and beautiful. And when you're finished, let us know what stuck out to you, what left you with questions. We'd love to know your thoughts on this or any episode this season, because this is the last episode of season 2.
That's right.
But you can keep the conversation going with both of us via email at podcasts@crossroads.net. Thank you so much for spending time with us this holiday season. It's been a real treat. Special thanks for our music to Jacob Durbin. Too Long Didn't Read is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Merry Christmas, Eric.
Merry Christmas, May.
I was so close.
So, May, I have one last question for you.
Oh, okay.
What is one of your favorite Christmas traditions?
Ooh. It's always been a tradition in our family, and we still do this. We do Christmas morning real slow, like really slow. And I love that because it just drags on, but not in a bad way. It just feels like savoring it. Mm. It's never been a rush in our family.
Mm.
I really like that.
Interesting.
It was annoying as a kid because you had to stop unwrapping what you were doing to watch someone else open a gift or something. But now I really like it. What about you?
I think one of my favorites is that we always order Chinese delivery for lunch every Christmas. Like full-on Christmas Story style. Like,
yeah.
We will call and order Chinese takeout every Christmas for lunch. And put it out on the table, and then just kind of like what you do with Thanksgiving, where the food's out and you kind of just graze on it for a while. Like we do that. So like you're walking around eating sweet and sour chicken and, you know, crab wontons and all sorts of stuff.
That's
just
awesome.
All afternoon. I love it.
I would try that.
It's great. It's good.